Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Aiken City Council meeting on December 12th, 2011. We're very pleased and happy to see everyone here. And as we go through our meeting, if you would like to comment on any issue that we have, you may certainly do that. Just raise your hand at the appropriate time, and we'll ask you to come up to the mic and just give us your name. That's all you have to do. And if you will, when you do that, try to hold the conversation, the comments, to 5 minutes if you can, so that we make sure that everybody has a chance that wants to speak, and we can get out in a relatively short period of time. Hopefully that would be enough to make your points. And I want to welcome everyone while we have an opportunity here to have a happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. Be safe in all you do, and we hope it will be a very nice one for you. As we begin, then, we'll have a council prayer and Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Almighty God, during this very busy, happy, celebratory time of year, we ask for your continued guidance to do your work, to meet your will, and see your way. Watch over this body as we consider the items before us. Watch over all of us here in Aiken as we celebrate the holidays in our own special ways. All of this we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
Mayor, in the past, we have, after the elections and installation of the council members, we've selected the mayor pro tempore. That is the person who serves in your stead when you're not available. I've had a request that we add that to tonight's agenda. It would be the selection of the mayor pro tempore for a two-year term.
Okay. Let's put that down on the petitions request, if that's okay. All right. Any others? If not, do we have a motion second to approve
so moved, Mr. Mayor.
Agenda?
Okay. I second.
Show of hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously. Under old business, first item is appointments to boards and commissions.
Let's see. The minutes.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Next item is the minutes. Any discussion on the minutes?
I move approval of the minutes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Okay. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item is appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We have 15 pending appointments to city boards and commissions and committees. We have four appointments tonight that are presented for council's consideration and vote. Councilmember Price has recommended that Terry Provo be appointed to the Planning Commission to fill the position of Leo Brooker, who has resigned. That term would expire December 1, 2013. Councilmember Homoki recommended the reappointment of Lucy Knowles to the Design Review Board. That term would expire December 31, 2013. He also recommended reappointment of Judy Turner to the Board of Zoning Appeals. Those are three-year terms. That term would actually expire December 1, 2014. Councilmember Dewar has recommended the reappointment of Charles Earps to the Design Review Board. That term would expire December 31, 2013. And council may recall our last meeting we discussed that the ADDA had requested the naming of a council member to attend their board meetings. They meet once a month. And there was some sentiment to actually rotate a council member to attend those meetings. But in the interim, council member Diggs actually volunteered for that appointment if that would be the pleasure of council. So for approval tonight are those four appointments as well as the council member to serve with the ADDA.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Move for approval, Mr. Mayor, of the boards and commission appointments as recommended.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
And just to be clear, Mayor, for the record, that does include Gail Diggs to serve ADDF.
Right. Very good. Thank you, Gail. Item 2 is the second reading.
Whoops. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make an appointment.
I'm sorry.
Recommendation to get Robert Newburn to the Accommodations Tax Committee.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to recommend the reappointment of Henry Krippner to the Board of Zoning Appeals, please.
Any others?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to thank my prior... I'm pulling a Richard Terry. A minute. Marcia Rogers, I'd like to thank Marcia for serving on the Environmental Energy Committee, which she has done, I think, for at least 8 years, mm-hmm. And reappoint Marianne Archibald as her replacement on the Energy Environmental and Energy Committee.
Okay. Any others? Okay, very good. Those will be on the agenda for appointment next meeting.
That'll be January 9 of the next year.
Mm-hmm. Item 2, second reading and public hearing of the ordinance accepting the fiscal year 2010-11 audited financial statement. Here's, please.
Thank you, Mayor. At our meeting on November 28, Lori Smith, who's a shareholder at Elliott Davis, who is our auditor, presented you with copies of the audit and answered several questions. I've provided a follow-up memo related to some of the specific questions that came up at first reading. Of course, under state law, we are required to audit our finances each year and file that audit report with the treasurer in Columbia. You did pass this ordinance on first reading at November 28, 2011 to accept the audit report. And for your consideration at second reading and public hearing, is an ordinance to accept the fiscal year 2010-2011 audited financial statements.
Okay, thank you, sir. We have a motion and a second for approval.
I make a motion that we accept our fiscal year 2010-11 audited financial statements.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion?
Only that I've given staff a bunch of questions to ask, and I'm working that online, so you don't have to sit here and wait for my 20 questions. Which
right,
I've
and
done
we did provide preliminary
yes,
responses to.
Yes, and I have some other questions, but I'll work it offline.
Okay. Yes, sir. So,
thank the staff. Sure.
Yes,
sir.
Mr. Mayor, if Ms. Sarah could pull up page 50, which is the letter, and I had talked to Mr. Pierce after our meeting about the OPEBs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we get to budget, this is going to be one of the critical things to talk about. This is the one here.
And I agree with you, Mr. Ezra. It's something that's very serious because, as you heard Ms. Smith at our meeting in November, so many local governments have funded that with exactly zero. And it's very telling that her next to last sentence says the funds are held in a trust account, and it is not prudent to put too much money in that account since the assumptions and reporting requirements are subject to change.
Yeah.
And in my discussion with our finance director, I think we've probably had two or maybe three changes since we initially put money in, and that's why we reduced the contribution amount, because once it goes in, it doesn't come back out.
Well, I think that's what there's a couple of things in part.
Mm-hmm.
One, in a number of times in our report in here, she mentioned about the actuary
mm-hmm.
numbers to deal with this. And, of course, if you look at the numbers in the end of the second paragraph, we have 81 people receiving it now and 338.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we get to the budget time, we need to put some bar graphs or charts together to show this because it can become a large money. She was actually showing we need to put in $2 million this, next year, which is the top end.
Well, that was an actuary amount, but
That's right.
You have to look at that second and last sentence. Even though it's an actuary amount, they say you have to be prudent in the investment. I think we were somewhere around the 22-23% range, and they thought that was a prudent amount based on the changes we had seen. So, yes, I agree with you. It's something we will look at as part of the budget process, but it's kind of a moving target.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
Sure. Any other comments? If not... show of hands, please. All in favor? Approval? Passes unanimously. Item 3, second reading, public hearing of ordinance to amend the Woodside Development Concept Plan. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We do have the memo from Planning Department Director Ed Evans, as well as information from Planning Commission Chair Bill Reynolds. They considered this request from Woodside. It's a 2.97-acre tract of land that immediately adjoins Silver Bluff Road. They want to construct two storage barns on this property to be used by Woodside Plantation residents to store their motorcycles, and then Woodside Development wants to store items related to their business. The Planning Commission did unanimously approve revising the concept plan to include these two barns. They had three conditions, actually. The development comply with submitted concept plan, building elevations, and narrative. Minor changes to the buildings and site, including tree preservation, are allowed to be approved by the planning director, and the owner will execute an agreement listing the conditions of approval, and that the agreement be recorded at the county. It says city. It should be county register of deeds within 90 days of approval by this body. You did approve the ordinance unanimously on first reading at your November 28th meeting, and for council consideration tonight is the second reading and public hearing on ordinance approving revision to the Woodside development plan to allow these two storage barns to be built on 2.97 acres at 1419 Silver Bluff Road.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Any discussion? Not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. One thing I failed to mention on the last couple of these, these second reading items are certainly open for public hearing. And although I said that early on, you can speak on any of the issues. I just wanted to emphasize that. If you do want to speak on any of these issues, you may certainly do that. Okay. Item 4. Second reading of a public hearing of an ordinance to grant an easement on South Carolina SCEG&G at the Aiken Municipal Airport. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This item is to provide an easement to SCEG. They want to provide power to our glide slope portion of the instrument landing system at the airport. Council will recall we do have the localizer and DME in place. This glide slope installation will complete the entire system, and we have fingers and toes crossed that the system will be active in time for the Masters Tournament. It's subject to certification by the FAA, and we're in conversation with them trying to make that happen. At your first reading of this ordinance on November 28th, you did approve that easement being granted. Without the easement, we won't have power to the glide slope, and it will be useless. So we are asking that we be allowed to sign an easement to SCEG so they can power up the glide slope installation when it's ready to be put into service.
All right. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
Mayor, I move that we approve this easement to SCEG to the Aiken Municipal Airport for the glide slope implementation. Okay. Instrumentation.
Second that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Discussion? Any discussion? I'll just say it's good to have this. We've been working on it. Many people have been working on this for, golly, 10 years perhaps.
Or more.
And it's great that it's coming to this point now. A show of hands, please, all in favor. Pass this unanimously. Item 5, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve a new contract with the Aiken County Public Service Authority. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. By way of review, back in on January 11, 1977, I think I was taking the SATs for college. The city of Aiken entered into a written contract with the Aiken County Public Service Authority for the city to send raw sewage to the Horse Creek sewage treatment plant. That was a 30-year agreement, so it expired in January of 2007. And in fact, we were on a month-to-month basis with the Public Service Authority. Along that time, with the previous city manager, we noticed in the billings that it appeared that our billings were increasing, but we were not sending that much more raw sewage down to the plant. And in our investigation showed that the Public Service Authority had actually expanded some of their service capacity, and it was at Beach Island for the Kimberly-Clark plant, the Beach Island line, as we later called it. and we were actually being charged for that. So we saw this as an opportunity to enter into some negotiations for an updated contract and agreement. As a result of those conversations, we have reached an agreement with City of North Augusta, City of Aiken, and County of Aiken, not only to define the capacity we currently have, but also put in place an agreement to purchase additional capacity. That's the capacity agreement. Then there's a second piece to this, which is the services agreement. We do meter the sewage that we send to the plant. In the past, we have not necessarily had immediate access to the meter if we suspect that the readings that we're being provided are out of kilter. Under this proposed agreement, in consideration of the funds that the city is going to pay, we were withholding funds to hopefully bring a resolution of this dispute. We're going to pay interest on the money we withheld. We're going to pay additional funds and receive a little over an additional half million gallons per day in capacity as a result of that. As the second part of the agreement, we're able to purchase 2.218 million gallons per day additional capacity at a total price to the city of $1,073,000. That would be payable one-third at the signing of the agreement, one-third 1 year from the initial agreement signing, and the final one-third 2 years after the signing of the additional agreement. We believe that this additional capacity will help us in development in Aiken. We think the services agreement also provides an opportunity for us to better monitor the operations out at the Public Service Authority's facility, and also better define the rights that the city has. Belton Ziegler, with Pope and Ziegler, is here with us tonight. He has been instrumental in negotiations with the Public Service Authority's attorney and actually represented the City of Aiken and City of North Augusta throughout this rather lengthy negotiation process, and he is here. Belton, if you could come up, he can provide any specific answers to questions that council may have. You did approve the ordinance at our first reading on November 14, 2011, and for your consideration tonight, of course, is the second reading and adoption of the ordinance approving the agreement and authorizing you, Mayor, to sign that on behalf of the city, and that will be for capacity, purchase of additional capacity, and the services agreement for the Public Service Authority.
Very good. Belton, we're glad to have you
here
sitting with us.
Thank you so much. Many of you, I know we have Ms. Dix, who is new to the council, but many of you have been here for some time as we've gone through the process of negotiating this contract. I think your city manager did a wonderful job of summarizing how we got to this point. What you have in front of you is a transaction that will allow the city to purchase a great deal of capacity at 1977 costs, and that is a huge benefit. The cost of that capacity, if you had to build it new today, would be many times the price that you're paying here. So you're getting a very good deal here. The county has extra capacity, but as many of you know, Valley Public Service Authority has taken over the old Graniteville system, and they need cash for use as matching grant funds as they go to look for grants and loans to rebuild that system. And so the money that you're paying for capacity will go to Valley to help them upgrade their system. So it's a win-win on both sides of that transaction. Under the 30-year contract that's in front of you, you will pay the cost of providing the service and nothing more. There will be money for the county to run the system, to make the improvements they need, and to fund the reserves they need to fund. But beyond that, there's no profit. There's no nothing but a cost of service-based rate that's coming to you all. There's great transparency about how the county's accounts will be kept and how much you'll get to know and see and monitor the prices that you'll be paying. In addition, as you go forward, should we have the kind of growth in this area that we hope to have in the coming decades, at any point you can go to the county and ask them to build more capacity, and they are required to give you that capacity at their cost. You'll have to pay that cost, But again, there won't be any attempt to mark up or to put someone in a corner or to get an economic advantage in this structure. Everyone has the right to raise their hand and say, we want more capacity, and that capacity then can be provided at the cost of putting it in place. So we think it's a very fair contract. We hope it's one that will last for 30 years and that will support economic development and growth and protection of the environment in this area, and believe that it will, and would recommend that the council give it serious consideration for signing and going forward under it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any questions? Comments?
Yes, Mr. Ziegler's probably tired of me asking this question. Suppose we have another major user come in within their system, like another paper plant addition or an automotive plant or something. Would that cause this same flare-up again, or would they deal directly with the authority? You know, a major user comes in this time. No, again, would we be a part of that, or would we be on the outside looking in?
Well, it would depend, I think, on where the user were located. If you were going to be, if it were a user that it would make sense for the city of Aiken to serve, then you could serve that user under this agreement. There's nothing at all to prevent you from doing that, and the agreement actually would give you the capacity presently to serve some very large customers without having to go and get additional capacity. If a new user were to choose the city of Aiken, say, if they were to say, we want the city of Aiken's water, you would have every bit as much right to request that sewer. You'd have every bit as much right to request that plant to be expanded to serve that customer as would the county. The county would not be in a position to say, no, we won't expand the plant unless the customer picks us to provide the service. So you've protected yourself very well, I think, okay, if there is a big user that comes along.
All right. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Are you providing services just to North Augusta and not Augusta? Has Augusta contacted you regarding?
No, we have not had any contacts regarding Augusta, and I don't believe any of this sewer is coming across the river.
Okay.
We don't practice law in Georgia, so I have not had any contact with the city of Augusta.
Okay, we've been in several meetings with you, and you've spent a lot of time with us, and I guess that's one of the reasons we don't have many questions at this point. You've done a good job.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you for those 1977 calls.
It's a very, very good, very favorable deal.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Felt it.
Well, do we have a motion and a second to pass?
I'll move, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I second.
We have a second. And show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Very good. Item 6 is a second reading public hearing of an ordinance to advance municipal building expansion funds. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. As part of the referendum that the voters approved last November, $3 million has been set aside in the third round of the capital project sales tax monies for municipal building expansion. The first item under new business is actually the purchase of real estate that this will be tied into. We have an opportunity to purchase the property at 135 Lawrence Street Southwest. That's the former First Citizens Bank building. In order to do that, though, we need the funding to do so. Council has been very kind in foreseeing that there were worthwhile projects. We have the SPCA project. We have the laptop computers for our public safety vehicles, the accessible playground at the library. This opportunity just came up within the last several months. I think at the time we went to the, or prepared for the process to go before the citizens on the municipal building expansion, the price of the building was over $1.5 million. We have an opportunity to actually purchase the property for $750,000. I'll go into more details with the resolution, but the thought is, in several conversations I've had since becoming your city manager last January, there's been a constant feeling that as part of our strategic plan in keeping the downtown vital, also serving our small business community, that we need meeting space. We certainly have meeting space for groups of 50, 75, 100. We've got the URS Theater with a capacity of 300, but that's theater seating. What I've heard in several discussions, also sat in several presentations, is there's a real need for meeting space for these regional or statewide organizations, and for that matter, national organizations that want to bring in crowds that really have attendees more in the 200 to 300 range. And while we never want to compete with the private sector, we've always looked for opportunities to assist the private sector and enable the private sector to do what they want to do. So, as we'll discuss when the resolution comes up as our first item of new business, the current offer that we've had from the bank is to sell the bank building to us for $750,000. That bank building has sat empty for at least 6 years and really longer when First Citizens did their move. We do see a good use for that building potentially in the fact that moving the administration and finance offices from the first floor of City Hall could easily translate over into this bank building because it has a vault on the first floor, a vault on the second floor, a night deposit, and a drive-through window right on the back corner of the bank. It also extends from Lawrence Street to Pendleton Street, so we've identified at least 40 potential parking spaces for city vehicles, and folks that are visiting City Hall, Pendleton Street, and Hayne Avenue are there. The reason I mention all that is if you move the administration and finance operations to that building, that will free up the entire first floor of City Hall. And City Hall could be then refitted as meeting space, front to back. And it could have a large room. It could have smaller breakout rooms, setups that all of us have seen, whether we've been at the Municipal Association annual meeting or other meetings, with a flexible floor plan that can be set up for the size of the group. After looking at this, determining that the bank was actually willing to talk to us as a motivated seller, we see an opportunity to take this $3 million, use as part of a phase one the purchase and then refit of the bank building to be used as the administration and finance building. We also see an opportunity to redevelop the front, the back of the property, develop more parking, and actually look at, in addition to the Newberry Festival Center, an opportunity to have an events venue where you could close off Hayne Avenue Extension, used to be called Short Street, from there at Pendleton all the way to Lawrence. And since Glenn Parker and his crew are in the process of obtaining a mobile stage, we have mobile bleachers, we just see a chance to set up a venue there for events. We also see it not as, you know, leaving the plan for municipal building expansion. We see ourselves renovating the first floor of the municipal building and take the success that we've seen with the conference center and just spread that through the entire first floor. With the bank building sitting empty for so long and folks in the private sector just unable, and that the investors have been very candid with me, they just cannot come up with a business plan that utilizes that building with bank vaults in it, or they can't see purchasing the property, then raising the building and building something back. They just can't make that work. And for the city, it's actually an opportunity for us to have a public space area that is much more open to the public. This building has served us very well, unquestionably. But I think for folks that come into City Hall, they come into a hallway of closed doors. And the first floor of the bank building is very open. It's an open space where we could have, you know, local art displays, items of interest, certainly an information desk or kiosk. Folks can come in and pay their bills and have more ready access to the folks in the finance department that they want to talk to from time to time. There's an opportunity for additional parking. There's an opportunity to have a payment window so the cars that come to make a payment from their vehicle would not necessarily be out in Park Avenue or talking into a speaker and getting a tube shot at them. They can actually pull up to a window and talk to a human being and receive, you know, more personal customer service. We did add this to the November 28th meeting, and that is the ordinance to allow the advance of the $1.5 million. Tonight we're asking for you to approve this on second reading and public hearing so that we can then proceed with the purchase of the improvements at 135 Lawrence Street.
Okay, thank you, sir. Is anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue? Okay, you still have an opportunity later. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay.
I do have one clarification, and it's probably the city attorney's already verified that we can use the local option sales tax money to renovate that building. I assume that remaining money can be used to renovate this building also?
Yes.
And that would be part of the overall complex?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Sure.
I'm not exactly sure about the figures, but I think we paid close to $1 million for the property adjoining us towards Newberry. What plans are we going to, are we going to decide on what we're going to do with it before we commit to this? Or is that, is it now superfluous? Are we going to try to sell it at a loss or a profit?
We did purchase the property immediately adjacent. It was about $936,000 we paid for that. We've got the Community Service Division of Public Safety there. That's been very well received by our downtown merchants and folks who are visiting the area. They actually have a good amount of walk-in traffic there. We don't have a plan for the first floor renovations and expansion. And depending on the type of conference center that we want to develop, there may be a need for that property. There may be an opportunity to sell a portion of it or sell all of it, just depending on what would be most economically feasible. But that's not really part of the discussion tonight. That would really be part of the phase two plan. We're just talking about phase one.
Let me make a couple of comments. You say phase one to phase two. I'm not sure that we have a complete plan. This might be a great thing to do. I think we voted to authorize the first reading just to permit you to negotiate with the bank.
That is correct.
Because you needed to have that first reading. Mm-hmm. The feedback that I have received via email for this project is mostly negative. In fact, it's all negative. I haven't heard from anyone. Now, again, I don't get the feedback from a lot of the business community, but I'm just disturbed because we spent $993,000. We had a plan, and we weren't going to execute that plan until a need developed. And I'm not sure that we've done a need study to show that we need to do anything right now. You talked about competing with the private sector. I mean, we would be competing with Newbury Hall. They can very easily fit 250 people in. Matter of fact, I've been at a function recently where they had over 300. So I don't know about the need for the meeting room on that basis. I heard from a businessman who was a little disappointed that already having to go to so many different places to get started, and now this is going to give him another place that he's going to have to go to instead of maybe being able to get some things done completely in this building. I would certainly support studying this idea a little bit more, but and I know the bank is pressing us because they want to get this off the book and by the end of the year, but I'm not sure that should cause us to deviate from our previously approved council plan to buy this adjacent property that we did from Brinkley's at $935,000, and now we're going to just dismiss that. I mean, that doesn't seem to be, to me, careful handling of taxpayers' money. I certainly parking is another issue that's been mentioned to me. My gosh, what are we going to do? We're going to put a meeting room downstairs for 500. Where are they all going to park? And there's no solution for that. I could see supporting this but not being rushed as we are. If we could study it a little bit more. As I said, we've already committed to doing something when the time is here, when we need to. to expand the municipal center. I don't think any of us had any plans, thoughts of doing that in the near future, and I'm not sure we should divert from that just because the bank wants to their building, and again, I'm not so sure that we ought to be competing with the private sector for the meeting room space. But anyway, those are my comments.
And if I may just address some of those, if I could. You know, currently you've got city staff parking on Newberry Street and portions of Park Avenue. The bulk of those folks that are parking on Newberry and Park would actually be moving over to the bank building, and that would free up parking space. The purchase of the bank property actually opens up a lot more opportunity. The initial discussions, and we were talking about the $3 million in expanding City Hall, the bank building was beyond our price range. It just would not work because of the money that was necessary to renovate the space. And I certainly appreciate the email from the citizen voicing the concerns about, you know, whether we're having a mission that's being abandoned or whether we've discussed the feasibility. I think, frankly, what we have, based on the conversations I've had with the members of the business community and folks that care a great deal about Aiken, is that is this an opportunity to take a structure that is really deteriorating? I mean, that building was built in 1968. It has absolute solid bones to it. It has infrastructure from 1968, roof. Well, the roof's been actually been updated, but the HVA system, the electrical, the plumbing do need to be updated. And the thing is, that building is actually in the center of one of the busiest blocks of our downtown district, and it may become a destination and create foot traffic, much like we see other cities where a city building is more central to the downtown district, and it creates that foot traffic and folks coming to town to do their business and then shopping elsewhere. The reason the bank building wasn't on our radar screen was just, frankly, cost. And in 2008, when we purchased the property next door, as I said, the bank building was at about $1.5 million. As we are now, we do have our engineering and utilities division out with our garage. We certainly have our building inspections and planning department that would stay behind in this building. But the advantage we have now, and Ms. Rideout has done a lot of work on this with staff, is our LaserFish system where documents can be viewed. We also have electronic signature verification. So while documents can be filed in one central location, they can easily be distributed to the rest of the city. What we're trying to do is create a more public space. We're trying to provide a potential economic stimulus to the downtown. And, in fact, the bank building has been looked at several times through the process, even during the time when we purchased the property next door. It's the sheer economics that have kind of brought this to the fore. And the offer that we have from the bank is for the $750,000, but that is conditioned upon closing this year. They're a motivated seller to get it off their books. And the question becomes whether we have this opportunity to take a structure that is sitting vacant, that we feel can be brought back to life and makes good sense for use as a city administration and finance building, and in the process help our community. Again, the constant comment I've had from several national organizations, or excuse me, statewide organizations and regional organizations, is they would love to come to Aiken, but they don't really see an opportunity to meet, eat, and sleep within one city block. And I think we potentially have that opportunity here, and we would not have brought, you know, this opportunity to council if we didn't feel like there was a great opportunity here to actually stimulate more traffic in our downtown.
Let me respond respectfully to your comments. I'm sure the business community does feel very positive about this this plan. And they do care about Aiken, but I would submit that the people who have emailed us with their views equally care about Aiken as well. So I think we can agree everybody's concerned about Aiken. we took the bank off the radar screen, as you say. We did that, and in response to taking that off, and you're right, it was too expensive. We all wanted to buy that building, but we couldn't come to terms with it, so we went to an alternate game plan. And to me, again, if we're going to, and let's be clear, this is not a $750,000 building. This is a $1.5 million building. It's going to be $750,000 to buy it and $750,000 about, maybe less, to renovate it, to bring it up to code. We spent $935,000. I'm just stuck with the idea that if we do this, it seems like we've just wasted that $935,000. We certainly didn't need to spend $935,000 for the public safety station, which I agree is doing very well and is very well appreciated. I mean, economically, this just is not a sound way of dealing with the taxpayers' money. I think we'd be, as I said, if we had some more time to study it, we might come to different conclusions. Maybe I would come to a different conclusion, but I just feel like I'm being rushed right now, and I just can't get over wasting the $935,000. I mean, it's not our job to buy an eyesore in a downtown. It's not our job to build meeting space. I mean, that's the function of the private sector, and I just don't think we should use our money for those purposes.
Mayor, I think you have Michael up there. There's two hands.
While you're coming up, let me make a couple of thoughts. And I can understand, Dick, I can understand your feeling and everyone on the other side of the issue. I think it's one of those issues. I see it as looking into the future also, and not only now, but as we've said, it's been said, the building's been sitting there. It's not getting any better. There's no indication anyone's going to buy it, and it's just going to be an eyesore and more of an eyesore every year for our city in the middle of our downtown, which I don't think is good. But, you know, you hear people talking about not enough parking, and it comes and goes, but it looks like there's more people downtown nowadays than it has been over the last several years to me. And I think in the future we're certainly going to need more parking, and so to me that's one of the big issues of this building, a plus. Now, nothing's to say, too, that some of the, if you get in the building and depending on what happens, perhaps some of those spaces can be rented as well. There are a number of offices in there, and maybe they can, maybe they can't. That's something. But also on the land that we bought next door, it's downtown Aiken. It's valuable land. I don't see it as wasted money. We may not be able to get $900,000 out of it, but it's there for the taking, for retail. It's a good piece of property for someone to come in and buy in the alley off of Newberry. So I don't see that as wasted. Maybe years before it comes, it may not be. But this is an opportunity. You say it's going to be $1,500,000 to refurbish once the building's finished, and that's true. But if we'd bought it at that higher price earlier and then put another $600,000 into it, it'd be even more. So I think that's one of the incentives, too, for why it's of interest right now. We have been looking at that building for a number of years. We've been through it a number of times, years and years ago. So it's just an opportunity here, and I think it depends on what we see it, certainly, and what is the vision, what's going to be happening in Aiken over the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Is that parking going to be necessary? You can probably put another deck on it if you had to later on. And it does get to, you know, the things Richard has said. Excuse me for taking up
Thank
your
you,
time,
Mr.
Mike. Go ahead.
My name is Mike Anacleri, 306 College Avenue. Council, I see this as a major, major, major point for the future of Aiken. You're at a crossroads for the growth of Aiken, a controlled growth of Aiken. I remember Council 25 years ago was asked a question about an athletic field. How are we going to offset the loss of revenue from the SRS's slowdown? What we did, we developed an athletic park where we have a lot of people come in for tournaments, that bring in their money, spend the night, then go back home. They're not intention on infrastructure. This is the same thing. It's a major growth opportunity for the city of Bacon for the next 15, 20 years. You have got to think about 15 or 20 years in the future, not during your term, but what's happened to Aiken in 15, 20 years. If council back then thought we wouldn't have it what we have now, we wouldn't have the people in Aiken. You probably wouldn't even be here if we didn't do what we did years ago. So let's look at the future. Don't worry about the pennies right now you're squabbling over. The money's going to be there because Aiken is going to grow. Everybody wants to come to Aiken, and we're going to find a place to support them. So let's don't play around. Let's just vote for this question and be on with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, sir. David?
David Kozad, 146 Aberdeen Drive, speaking in favor of the proposed extension of the funds. Was going to wait for the actual real estate motion, but go ahead and speak to it now. I am chair of the Economic Vitality Committee of Aiken Downtown Development Association, and as far as we are concerned, this is a triple play for items that we have been concerned about and have had on our monthly agenda for several years now. One, as has been mentioned, rescuing the deteriorating bank building. Secondly, the opportunity to expand the municipal building in a much more cost-effective manner overall. And as one particular taxpayer, it certainly appears to me that this is a more cost-effective way of doing it than what the original plan had been. But the third thing is the aforementioned ability to expand the capacity for this building to serve larger groups of people in small conventions. We have had considerable discussion and can certainly verify the city manager's account of reports that we have gotten of groups who have indicated that they would be interested in coming to Aiken for that sort of thing, if you could have on one block the sort of thing that the city manager has described. So we see this as a real triple play in light of things that have been at the top of our agenda for some time. So we congratulate the city manager and his staff for their creativity in looking at this. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Mr. Mayor, council members, Frank Thomas, 10 Burgundy Road, Aiken, also speaking in favor of the movement to purchase the building. I also represent and am current chair of the Chamber of Commerce here in Aiken. And we haven't polled every single member that we have, but I can tell you with the members and executive committee, we've made numerous phone calls to businesses. And overwhelmingly, we have the support of our members that this move forward. And I don't want to reiterate what Reverend Kozan and Mike have said. I do understand, you know, there is some concern about you make plans, you do plans, you spend money, but things change. I mean, in the business world, things change all the time. And I think from an economic standpoint, haven't studied all the numbers. I mean, I have to admit that. But purchasing that, quote, pink elephant downtown, I think, is an excellent move for this city. I don't know right now what private venture would be able to do that. And using the funds that would be available, I think, is a smart move. Creating space for the people downtown to have certain meetings. We certainly don't want to crowd out any private entrepreneur. I don't think that would happen. I think, really, it would more support the private folks that are out there now than inhibit them. So from a chamber standpoint and from a 64-year member of the city of Aiken, I certainly support this moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Good evening. I'm Carla Cloud with the Executive Director of Aiken Downtown Development Association. And I don't want to reiterate what's already been said. We all agree, the ADDA agrees with what they've said so far. But I did want to make specific appointment to what you were talking about, Newberry Hall being able to cater those. What we have found is people are constantly calling the chamber and ourselves, wanting to have these meetings, and what they're looking for is not just a space that can accommodate the large group like Newberry Hall can, but they also want the breakout rooms, and that's what we've been missing. So we have been in talks and trying to think about things. I think Newberry Hall would actually gain more business because these groups would more than likely go there to have their dinner time, but they would still want to have a place that they can meet and then break off into smaller groups. So that's the thinking. It's not that they can't accommodate a group of 200. They do not have the breakout space that most of these national and state conventions would like to have.
Thank you, Carla.
Debbie.
Hi, I'm Debbie Nix, 808 Woodford Street. I wouldn't want to speak not knowing the numbers either, but I would say this. I shop downtown frequently. I own three small businesses in Aiken. I was born here. My grandparents were sharecroppers here. I'm concerned because I am on the streets, and during lunchtime, it's almost impossible at times to find a parking place on Lauren Street. I go to the Bank of America almost every day, the drive-in, so I look at that parking lot, and I just can't figure out how, depending on how many people you're going to employ there, where their parking's going to occur. Because actually, this evening, there were a lot of cars in that parking lot. So I think that it's going to be a problem. I think that people will have to, I'm not sure what you're going to move there. I think it's going to be the finance department, so we would go there to pay our water bills and our business taxes.
And the manager's office.
Okay.
Staff.
There will be a lot of foot traffic there, especially some certain times of the year. I'm just concerned that it's going to be a problem. I agree that the building is an eyesore, but I'm just very concerned for the businesses there. As a member of the chamber, and as a businesswoman, if I owned a business downtown, I would be very concerned, especially one that's close to that, just mainly for the parking. So if the parking is not there, and I would think that before you would make a decision that you would have that nailed down, because we as taxpayers need to know if there's going to be a parking deck built on the back of that next year or whenever it is that you decide that you need it. And then you're going to have two buildings that we're going to be paying for. So now we're three different buildings. There's the public safety, there's the downtown, and there's this building. So I'm very concerned. I would hope that you would really consider the parking, and it will bring foot traffic, but mainly it's people that are in Aiken, and they may go there and get lunch if they're there during lunchtime, but I still can't understand how it's going to work with the parking.
Mayor, we have about 25 staff members that would move over to the building, and we've identified about 40 parking spaces. So there's more parking spaces than staff would take.
In the back.
Yes, that's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we're buying a $1.5 million building for 25 employees.
No, I don't think it's that easy to say that.
No, that wasn't the point.
Okay, but is that what you just said?
What I said is that there'd be about 25 staffers over there. The whole concept is not just to move staff around and create more places that people have to visit. The idea is to have a more convenient drive-through window available to the public, to have parking available off-street for our staff that are currently parking on-street, to have the ability to use that tract of land not just during the day for office space, but for musical venues or other events that could be in the immediate vicinity of that building. The other thought is we actually, with several events that Downtown Development does, other events that other concerns do throughout the year, this provides an additional venue for the crowd. We've had a very successful run with the Aiken Young Professionals through the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce, and the alley and B Lane are actually turning into a good venue for those events. In with an outside event, they've been multi-generational. They've had different things for different folks, music, games, something for children, a place for families to come. And with the increased activity in B Lane and the alley, we see a potential connection as the strategic plan outlines that we need to look for to actually connect Newberry Street to Lawrence Street to Pendleton Street, to have a wider, more active area and more choices as to the type of events that we can have. There is a full basement in this facility that provides us with storage and classroom space. The classroom space that we have now is a little more limited, a little more noisy. And again, the whole relook at the bank building is the fact that it's finally at a price point where we can justify the purchase and upfit in order to have this first floor in a very flexible meeting space that accommodate all kinds and sizes of groups, which is, of course, the discussion that we've been having with the various entities downtown.
Well, just to clarify this, 25 employees will be in this building. Is that what you're saying?
Approximately.
Okay, so we're buying a building that we're going to put $1.5 million in, and there will be 25 employees in that building. That is correct. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Please, I have received over the past 3 days, 4 days, possibly three emails. The three emails that I had received were questioning the parking, I think, which we have addressed. They've questioned the use of the property here in the alley. The investment that we made in this piece of property is still there. I think that we would be foolish in a down economy to put that on the market. Mm-hmm. I think that there won't be many more years before the value of that property will be back, and it would be at that time in which we should sell that property or investigate the possibility of selling that property. One other comment that we had received was someone who felt that it was a burden upon them to leave one property to go to another department to have dealings with the City of Aiken. And I think that it's time the City of Aiken comes into the 21st century so that, as our city manager has just said, with modern technology, you should be able to stop in one facility and have all of your needs taken care of, whether that's two departments working hand in hand electronically. I think we need to be at a point now to where if a builder wants to apply for a permit, that he should be able to do that from his smartphone and not have to come into City Hall to have that done. That technology is available to us, and I think that would answer the question of having to run from one building to another. On the other hand, I have had probably 40 or 45 comments from citizens, from business owners within the City of Aiken, not only from downtown, but also from Southside merchants who are in favor of the city purchasing this property and doing the upgrade to it. They see it as a win-win situation. They see it as a win-win situation for the citizens of our community, for merchants and visitors and shoppers on Lawrence Street to see a very vibrant downtown, one in which every building is filled and utilized to its capacity. And then on the other hand, opening up the meeting facilities here in this current building and being able to host people from out of town, having two hotels right here within walking distance that would be able to accommodate them, as well as the restaurants in the area for the evening dinners, and then Newberry Hall or other caterers bringing in the lunch. I think it's just a win-win situation for us all. From a negative standpoint, I've only received three, and they seem to be more informal questions than being against the city moving forward in the purchase of this property.
Bill Inman, 10 Normandy Lane, Aiken, a citizen of Aiken, and I want to echo what Dr. Kozad, Frank, Mike, and Carla said. I think it's an outstanding investment and as a citizen and taxpayer of Aiken. I just want to get that on the record.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
My name is John Heaton. I own a business in downtown Aiken. I live at 704 Highland Park Drive. This is an outstanding opportunity for the city of Aiken. You know, I really don't know how anybody who has ever really done anything in downtown Aiken could oppose this. When I was working with the Aiken Center for the Arts, we had First Night Aiken, and we did have programs in front of the bank. We closed down half of Lawrence Street. We brought in people from all over the southeast for that. So I know what it's like to try to do something in downtown Aiken. My business, we decided to put my business in downtown because we support downtown. I was involved with the first 2020 campaign, you know, and that went marvelously. And one of the things that we talked about was having a parking deck downtown, but the problem was, where were you going to put it? You'd have to buy the property, and then you'd have to spend the money actually on the deck. I think that this building is perfect for the city of Aiken. I think that the parking will improve, especially on Newberry and on Park Avenue, which is where my business is located. And I've just got one question for Mr. Pierce. How many people work at Odell Weeks? How many city employees are there at the Odell Weeks Center?
Oh, good gracious. Glenn, a dozen?
You've got 12 people working on that big piece of property in that expensive building? My goodness. This city just wastes money left and right. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Mayor, I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Many of the folks in the audience, as I look around, have been around, and many council members as well, for 25 years, and I'm going to go back to some rehashing things. And you know what downtown was like. We had 13 closed storefronts in this downtown area. And you can reflect back to the improvements that we made with the getting rid of the Paint and Body Shop. There were folks opposed to us getting rid of the Paint and Body Shop downtown Aiken. But we got rid of that. Two theaters. Got rid of those two theaters. And I can go on and on in naming the things that we have improved downtown. And they were taking risk at some terrible, questionable times in terms of investment. But they've all benefited. We've all benefited from it. I don't mind telling you, Mike mentioned it, the Citizens Park. I supported Citizens Park, but because of comments by citizens saying it was not a good investment at this time, several of us on this council voted against Citizens Park. But it turned out to be what? A tremendous investment for this town. And so it doesn't speak negatively of me because I didn't want to take the risk at that time, but there comes a time when you've got to act appropriately with if it's a good deal that's offered to you. Certainly, I think that this is a good investment for the city. Do we have two facilities that we've invested in? Yes. But I think that that's going to be something that we will be able to take care of at the appropriate time. And I fully support the purchase of this facility here on Lawrence Street.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else like to speak?
Yeah. Okay. My name is Janice Johnson, and I live at 203 Arbor Terrace, which is, if you don't know exactly where that is, that's exactly where Leslie was talking about. When the city went in and bought the park's garage area, we actually did some negotiations with them and donated a strip of property, and they were able to build the six condominiums. We actually bought that piece of property, invested in that piece of property because of what the city had done. That vision made us want to buy the corner that John Heaton was in at the Curiosity Shop building. We now live there. So we speak as a citizen of downtown Aiken. I live right there. I walk downtown all the time. I'm just so excited about what you're talking about doing. My husband's here tonight, and we're both not only residents of downtown, we're business owners. We own two businesses downtown. One is Marketplace Wholesale Art in the back of that building, and the other is Arbor House Properties. We have invested in an additional two commercial buildings in downtown Aiken because, again, of the vision of what you've done with downtown Aiken, and that's been within the last 10 years. The one building is a Curiosity Shop building, and the other building is just three doors down from the First Citizens Bank. And we are just very excited. We are, again, from the private sector, but we don't see that as any type of competition at all. We are wholeheartedly in support of it and just wanted to let you know that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Janice.
Let me just add, too, you noticed there were a lot of traffic downtown with not a lot of parking spaces. We headed to council meeting. There are 300 people across the street at the Performing Arts Theater tonight. This is a busy place, and if stores were open, many of the folks would be shopping following their experience at the theater. Mm-hmm. But the traffic is going to grow, and that's what businesses, I think, want to see. They want to see the traffic because it means that you can hire, put more people to work, pay more taxes to us. So it's a foot traffic is a revenue generator, and I don't know of anyone else, I don't think, is trying to escape. I don't think foot traffic in this town.
Anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Jason Rabin, 1013 Evans Road. I just wanted to speak on behalf of the Young Professionals Group that's affiliated with the Chamber of Commerce. We see this as a vital piece of property for not only the future of Aiken, but also for our Fifth Friday. We think that's important for our downtown development and our future growth of Aiken, and we think this property could really do something for this community. If you go outside of Aiken city limits and you visit Columbia or you visit Charlotte, and these towns that have these young professionals and these young families that are moving into town, we think that this could really could benefit Aiken and not just keep them in the alley center. We think we could show off some more of our downtown. So the young professionals are definitely in favor of this, and we look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Wade Brody, 422 York Street, Southeast. Vision, vision, vision. And that's why we have the great city that we have now. If we let one or two negative comments kill good ideas, Aiken would be where it was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I encourage your support of the city staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Wade.
The gentleman that spoke on young professionals, how many members are in your group?
Currently 224.
Okay.
Colleen Reed, 207 Brandon Road in Aiken. You all know that I have a very great interest in history and preservation. Although this building is not a historic building, something has to be done because it is totally detracting from what many of our business owners have done in the downtown. They're trying to maintain their buildings. We've had the Holly Building renovation, Security Federal Bank, and this building is becoming an eyesore and will only end up being demolished by neglect, which is a terrible thing to happen in a downtown. And this is a perfect opportunity to step forward and to really serve our downtown businesses and citizens.
Thank you, Colleen. Anyone else?
My name is Dennis Saylor.
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the City Council, I want to thank, first of all, I've been a resident of Aiken for almost 21 years now, and I saw what this downtown was 21 years ago. It was very much like so many other downtowns, dying, drying up, and going to waste. This may very well be the next best idea this council's had. But I ask you to do me one favor. Listen to Councilman Dwyer. There is one question of concern that I'm hearing so far is that it seems to be rushed through. And I just ask that, and I thank Councilman Dwyer for speaking up in concern, that it may be rushed through just a little bit. If it isn't, you know, then disregard what I'm saying, but please don't rush into it just to save a building. Mr. Pierce made the comment of many state and regional organizations wanting to meet, eat, and sleep. I see that building only taking care of two of those unless you're going to use that extra space for bedrooms. So that's not going to answer all three of those things. We're going to have a meet and eat location, beautiful downtown Aiken, very limited within a one city block for housing. That's not going to answer that. Please take a look at it. Make sure that you're making the right move. And once again, Councilman Dwyer, thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Okay, anyone else? I'd like just to add to what's been said. I moved to Aiken in 1953, mm-hmm. and certainly there have been a lot of changes. But there wouldn't have been changes if people hadn't had a vision for change and for those things that needed to be done. There were no real restaurants here in 1953. You went to Augusta for everything. But in the movies, entertainment, just everything. Wade talked about this a little bit. But I've seen a lot of changes. And I thank the good Lord that I've been a part of some of those. A part of some of those. Like Leslie, when that Citizens Park came up in the early 90s, that was at a time when the site was saying they were getting ready to retire about 10, 11,000 jobs. At the same time, council had that on their agenda. And while it sounded good, I suggested we wait 6 months. Mm-hmm. Council voted no. They voted, let's go ahead right now. And I think maybe Leslie and I were the only two that voted against it. Hindsight, it was a wonderful thing to do. That was vision at that time. And I think this vision is similar to that. As I said early on, this is about vision, looking out. What are we going to need for parking? What are we going to need for many other things this building can help us with, both buildings? And sure, it's easy to say, no, this is not a good thing. We ought to wait. We can't wait too long. We've got to make a decision on this. And as far as I'm concerned, it's all plus. That land we've got right next door, that's valuable land. And what more valuable anymore than land? But I think it's a very good thing to do, and I'm going to support it wholeheartedly. Okay, any other comments? We've got a motion and second already. Show of hands, please, all in favor of moving forward on this purchase. Okay, passes six to one. Okay, thank everyone for being here that spoke.
Wait a minute. We haven't voted on the second part of it yet.
Purchase. No, we haven't.
Okay. You said you were thanking everybody for leaving. Okay.
We have on this one. Okay. Under new business, item one, resolution to purchase real estate with improvements at 135 Lawrence Street.
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this. And,
I second.
Okay. Comments? Comments from the public? You've made comments.
What you said for the first
What you said for the first item applies to the second.
Right.
Right. Okay, if there are no further comments by council, show of hands, please. All in favor of moving forward with this. Okay, passes 6-1. Under petitions, so we added the mayor pro tem.
And approval of jury box.
Approval of the jury box.
I'm
skipping lots of things today. I apologize. Okay, Sarah, what do you want to tell us about the jury box?
We've got 13,761 names to put in the jury box, Mayor, under state law. The City Council acts as the jury commissioners for our city court operation, and you have to approve the preparation of the names for our jury box. Mm-hmm. They have Compartment A and Compartment B. Compartment A contains the names of all registered voters and holders of a valid driver's license or identification card, and that's issued pursuant to state law. That goes into Compartment A during the year when jurors are randomly selected from this compartment, and after selection for a particular term of court, then we put those names in Compartment B so that they would not serve for more than one term in a given calendar year. For City Council approval tonight is the preparation of the 2012 City Court Jury Box that will be effective in January of 2012. You have a copy of the affidavit for preparation of the jury box, which our city clerk, Sarah Rideout, has prepared.
Yeah. Okay. Sir, our name's in there, aren't they? I'd like to ask you that every year just to make sure. I've never been called. Okay, any comments? Do we have a motion and second to approve the jury box?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, on to petitions. Mayor Pro Tem, that we added to the agenda. Every year, I'd like to explain this just briefly. Many, many years ago, we changed the system of how to elect the mayor pro tem. And we decided to go to a seniority way of doing it. There were reasons for this that I won't get into, but that has worked well for a number of years now. So Councilman DeWar is next in seniority to be mayor pro tem. And I would like to make that motion right now that we elect, if you will, Councilman DeWar as mayor pro tem.
And it would actually be an appointment, Mayor.
Appointment, okay, appointment.
You need a second on that, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Second motion.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor?
Can I vote?
Okay, you can. You can.
Thank you.
Okay. Welcome, Dick. I would like to say to Don Wells, thank you, Don, for being such a wonderful
Farewell.
Mayor pro tem.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
I asked you on many occasions to stand in for me, and you were there every time. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
There is one additional agenda item, Mayor. On behalf of staff, we'd like to wish City Council a very Merry Christmas, a very happy holiday season, and certainly a very happy New Year.
Okay. We stand adjourned.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem.
I don't know what to expect tonight.
You should know whether I should vote or not.
Hey, when you don't support yourself,
you're in trouble. Hopefully, we can turn it out. Absolutely.